show of hands, do I come gentle or do I come hard? Hard. Careful now. Oh, Lord Jesus. I stand here this morning and I'm trembling inside because I actually don't have anything that I can give. I can bring my testimonies and my words and my thoughts, but I don't have the power to change any one of you this morning. But in a sense, I'm standing here this morning as a witness of something, as an ambassador of something, and I want to bring my testimony in this place. And every time I get the opportunity to do this, it's terrifying for me because I come up to the place of faith, which I have a measure of, but also of insecurity and doubt and fear, because the thing that we are trusting for this morning is something that I cannot manufacture, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to earth and died on the cross for our sins, will come into this room and manifest himself here in a way that people will leave this building today saying that I have met with him. He is alive. My message this morning is about having an encounter with God, because that is the only thing that can save us. It's the only thing that can change us. It's the only thing that can heal us and give us hope, strengthen us, sustain us through the things that we will face in this world. Apart from that, apart from having an encounter with him, all we have is words and songs and our own strength and our own ability, which always lets us down. Amen. Don't even know how to start this. I've experienced many things in my life. And one of the things that was the most terrifying and upsetting and traumatizing to me before I met Jesus was that feeling of being all alone in this world. And I had seasons of many friends and achievements and praise and prospering and everything, pleasure and relationships. I filled my life with all of my desires and everything that I could to make it better, to have more, and to give myself the things or experience the things that I thought would make me feel good, make me feel better, and give me peace and make me happy with life. I searched for meaning and for peace and fulfillment in everything that I had the power to experience and taste myself. And you know what? Where I ended up? All alone. It didn't matter how much I had, how many friends I had, how many people praised me because I was good at mixing music or whatever it was. None of that had the ability or the power to fulfill me on the inside. And this is a fact of life, but it's one of those facts that we don't want to look at and we don't want to acknowledge and we don't want to talk about. Amen. Isn't that true? Isn't it true that we run after all of these things? We run after things to make us feel better and to make us feel good and to make us whole and to give us peace and to give us meaning. And when those things are removed from us, we realize that they don't have the power to give us the things that we want. That relationship that you chase, or that job, or that income bracket, it doesn't have the power to make you whole. But we know it, but somehow we don't. I'm going to try again. The next relationship, that's going to be the one. The next job, that's going to be the one. You know, living out my dreams through my children or moving to a better place, getting on to the next team, being a deacon, being an elder, being a translocal elder, being an apostolic elder. Those things cannot make us whole. And I think this is what I've experienced in my life, that I've sought and looked for and that place of just peace. And everything that I tasted left me empty and alone and broken. Ephesians 4:17. Now I say this and I testify in the Lord that we should not live like the Gentiles do in the futility of our minds. Because then we are darkened in our understanding. We are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in us. Because of the hardness of our heart. We become callous and give ourselves over to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Adapting to make it personal to me. The more we seek those things, the more we are alienated from the life of God that can actually sustain us and give us peace. We get given over to these appetites that become more and more and more in our life, but separate us from God and leave us lost and broken. And I've experienced that. And I've also encountered Jesus Christ in a personal way, in a very real way in my life. So I can stand here as a witness and a testimony today. And with Paul, I can read the scripture, but not just read it, declare it. That in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through Him, to reconcile all things on earth and in heaven and makes peace by the blood of His cross. And I was once alienated and hostile in my mind, doing evil deeds. But then He reconciled me in the body of His flesh by His death, and He presents me holy and blameless above reproach before Him. If I continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from this hope of the gospel that is being proclaimed in all creation under heaven. Amen. If we start to analyze ourselves, if we don't have peace, we don't have joy, we don't have hope, it's because our lives are filled with things that cannot give us the things we need. And there's a funny thing that happens, that the more we have, it seems the easier it is. But we only realize the power that it has over us when those things are removed. If it were possible to go to the richest person you know in this week, I believe the truth is that that person would tell you that seeing millions in the account, it doesn't change who they are on the inside. Having a massive business or owning multiple businesses, it doesn't change the inside, the deep spiritual part. And that's the place that God wants to inhabit. That's the place that God wants to come into. I used to have a big drug problem. And that's like the ultimate deception. Because the enemy makes you feel good, gives you a good time, and he surrounds you with a big group of friends. But it starts like that, like a lie, like it's a deception. So it's fun in the beginning. And then the longer you are in addiction, all the good parts that you have experienced get stripped away from you. Most drug addicts end up just alone, broken, with everything removed from their lives. I used to remember that I'd get cooked out on the weekends, like if the night is too much or I've taken too much and it's like just madness, I would separate myself from the party. I'd go into a bathroom where there was nobody there and I'd just wash my face and look into the mirror. My eyes would be big like this and my pupils would be black as night. And I'd look into my own eyes and I'd see deep abyss of darkness. And it used to scare me, but it didn't scare me enough to stop. And even after relocating my life to Cape Town, beginning a new life here and stopping drugs, the hard drugs, I used to remember just lying on my bed in the evenings, smoking. And life brought me to a place where there was just nothing left. I tried everything, relationships, pursuits, sport, business, friends. And at the end, it was just nothing. There was nothing there. Because those things don't have the power to fulfill us. You know, if I didn't meet Jesus probably that month, I would have just drowned myself in Big Bay in 2010, the end of that year, because I really hit the point where I was just finished, couldn't anymore. And then I had a big encounter with God. If you follow my life, you'll hear me come back to that same thing all the time, because something happened to me. And I'm trusting here as I share my testimony and talk about the Lord and share His scriptures, that God is going to come and encounter some of you this morning. because your lives are filled with things that have disappointed you and failed you and failed to give you the peace and the meaning and the joy and the fulfillment that you long for. Because it can only come from Him. One of the richest men in history said this: I said in my heart, come now, I'm going to test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this was vanity. Said of laughter, this is mad. And of pleasure, what use is it? I search with my heart to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold of folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted them in them all kinds of trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I had servants, and slaves were born into my house. I had many great possessions, and herds and flocks, more than anyone who had ever been before me. I gathered for myself silver and gold, and treasures of kings and provinces. I had singers, women and men, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me. My wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. And then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. It doesn't matter what you have in this life, what you achieve, how many friends you can gather, or how great your influence, or how high a level you can climb to. If you haven't had an encounter with Jesus, it's all worth nothing. And it will not fulfill you. Because there will always be someone with more. There will always be someone with better. There will always be someone with a greater position or reach or influence. Most people who seem successful in the sight of the world, many of them, despite achieving great wealth and success and influence, are actually terribly unhappy. And if you pay attention to what's happening in the world, like wealth is increasing, entertainment is increasing, the influence of those people is increasing. If you pay attention, many of those people are just dying, overdosing or killing themselves, or health is just collapsing because of years of, because it's a chasing after the wind. It's a pursuit of futility. This is what God says. That people commit two evils. They forsake me, the fountain of living water. And they make for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's what we do. We forsake Jesus, the life-giving Spirit, and we chase things. We are led forth by our appetites to things that we think are going to sustain us or refresh us or make it better. And those things do not hold water, not the water that we need. Amen. Let me have a sip. Let it simmer a bit. I've come here to guilt trip you guys into repentance this morning. If I'm not speaking the truth, then you need to tell me, no, that's not right. Like, you know, like, I have many flaws and mistakes, and I'm not perfect, but I've encountered something of Jesus in my life that despite my lack and inability, when I look at the world, I see that clear separation between light and darkness. But the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world, I see it so clearly that sometimes I wish I can just close my eyes because I don't want to see the things that I see. On Friday, I had to attend to a water issue at a building in Church Street. So we're busy doing work inside. So they have rising damp in this building. So we're doing injection molding, injection waterproofing. But the water is coming through the wall in a specific place. So we had to go around the block to another building, go through the building, and there's a small little alley. It's probably this wide, and now this, you have this high wall, and the shop that I have to go through is called African Treasures, and they specialize in importing African artifacts, like war masks and spears and like all of these things from North Africa, and prostitution. So you walk in, and then there's all these ladies standing on the sidewalk with their goods on display, and a very big, intimidating African guy that, what you want here? They're like, I have to go through your shop to do an inspection. And then reluctantly, then we go through, get to this little, man, the place is dingy and dirty, and in the little alley where we have to work, there's an overflowing drain with sewage, and so we look at the issue, and as we walk out, I'm looking at all of these artifacts, and it's just bull's heads everywhere. Like really hectic stuff with these price tags, 150,000, 80,000, this, that. It's very expensive. You know what I hear when I walk through that shop? I hear the word Baal. Baal was a Canaanite fertility god. It's everything that the human appetite craves for. Power and wealth, influence and sex and all of those things. It's the filth of humanity. And my 5 minutes in that little shop, I see it all, like laid bare. There it is. The promise of the world, the promise of this, the promise of that, the promise of pleasure, of wealth, of violence, taking what you want, having what you want. It's everything opposite to what Jesus has for us. The thing that I want to ask us this morning, so we come into services week in, week out, but do we actually hear what God is saying to us? Do we hear what heaven is saying? Come away from those things. Turn away from those things. Leave those things that is causing this pain in your life, that's leading to your disappointment, that's leading you astray. Do we even hear Jesus saying, come, everyone who thirsts, come, there is water. You don't need money. You can come for free. Receive wine and milk and honey without price. Why do you spend yourself? Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and work for that which does not satisfy you? Listen to me. Eat what is good. Delight yourself in rich food. Open your ears and come and hear that your soul may live. We hear the words every Sunday. And then there's an altar call, who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, who Jesus Christ sent to the earth to be with us. And 10 people stand. Jesus himself stood up, cried out, if any of you thirst, let him come. Come to me and drink, and whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This he said of the Holy Spirit, who was not yet given, because he was not yet glorified. You know, the first thing that happened when Jesus revealed himself to me was I was filled with an insatiable hunger to know him. To have everything that he has made available. When I heard that there were spiritual gifts, I desired prophecy more than anything else in the world. Because I wanted to be a prophet and be famous and have. No. So I wanted to hear God. It was my greatest desire. I would speak to all, like if somebody like Melanie was close. How do you hear God? How do you hear God? Because I'd realized, I've tasted and I've seen and I'd expend myself. And I ended up empty and broken and alone and hopeless and destroyed. And I realized, made the rest of my life easy. I tried everything to find peace and fulfillment, and I failed. And then I met Jesus, and I realized, you don't need anything but Jesus, and you can have peace. But there's more than that. He's alive. You can know him. You can be in a relationship with him. You can have an encounter with him. Somebody gave me a prophetic word. You're going to have an encounter with God. I didn't even believe it's possible what they were talking about. I had an encounter. I got saved. And they said, there's more than that. You can have an encounter with Jesus. I I read these scriptures, let anyone who thirsts come. If you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be opened. Everyone who asks, receive. Everyone who seeks will find. Everyone to whom knocks, it will be opened. So I asked and I sought and I knocked and I cried out and I shouted to heaven and I read the scriptures and I went to church and I sat in a community that was boring, but I wanted to find God. I wanted to know Him. I was hungry for more. I didn't want to be broken anymore. I didn't want to be lost. I didn't want to be hopeless. I didn't want to be weak in all the areas that I was weak in. I wanted to be changed. I wanted to be different. And when I looked at Jesus, I saw that all of these things were possible and available. And the more I learn and grow and understand, I see this invitation from God to come to Him. That anybody can come to Him. Louisa said that we can come as we are in the prayer meeting this morning. Lauren had the word of Jesus is calling us into intimate fellowship with Him this morning. God is calling us into intimate fellowship through Jesus. Something real. And yet we find ourselves in this in-between place, even in church. Marriage is falling apart because the marriage can't make us whole. Finances are falling apart because the finances couldn't make us whole. The relationships are falling apart because the relationship couldn't make us whole. We have leaders falling apart because leadership can't make you whole. Some people think, if I can just be an elder, then I'll be whole. If you become an elder, you feel that pressure that comes on your life. You'll realize how lost and broken you are without Jesus. And there's nothing in you. It's by grace alone. I'm not giving us a license to live any way we want. What I'm saying is, if we do not have an encounter with God and live for Him and seek our fulfillment in other places, the end is always the same. God said this to Zechariah. Say to them, thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me, and I will return to you. Do not be like your fathers. The prophets cried out, saying, the Lord says, return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not hear or pay attention. There's that invitation. Come, come, come. Do not be like those who hear the invitation but do not open their ears and they do not pay attention. Because God is working. Jeremiah 24:7 says this, I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. When they return, or they shall return to me with their whole heart. It's God that actually gives us the desire to know Him, the hunger to know Him. Spiritual hunger is a gift that comes from heaven. We come by faith, and Hebrews 11 says this, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. He is the reward. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. I'm not saying that to anybody here. It's just that principle of God calling us away. Come away from those things that you are chasing. Come away from those worldly desires. Come away from those earthly appetites. Come to Me, and I will come close to you. And this is all made possible because of Jesus. Because He lives forever. And He has a priesthood that lasts forever. Maybe you can rise to our feet. Close our eyes. Father, I'm declaring the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, here this morning. I declare that He is alive after dying a horrible death on the cross, by His body being torn, His blood poured out, so that we can come freely this morning. Lord Jesus, because You live forever, Your priesthood lasts forever. And You are able once and forever to save us who come to God through You. And You live forever to intercede with God on our behalf. You are the kind of high priest we need, because You are holy and blameless and unstained by sin. You were set apart from sinners and have been given the highest place of honor in heaven. Unlike other high priests who need to offer sacrifices all the time. But Lord Jesus, You did this once and for all when You offered Yourself as the sacrifice for our sin. The law-appointed high priests who were limited by human weakness, but after the law, God appointed You. And You made everything perfect forever. Jesus said this, no one can come to Him unless the Father draws them. And if you come to Him on the last day, He will raise you up. It means eternal life. But not just eternal life when you leave this earth, having life now. Having a relationship now that can heal your identity, can heal your brokenness, can remove your disappointment, can remove your pain. Having an encounter with One that can bring you from death to life, from darkness to light. I believe God has brought people here this morning to hear that invitation, but also to hear that those things that they are chasing are futile and worthless and powerless to give them what they think they will give them. And the Lord is, in a sense, warning, saying, don't indulge those things, but turn away from them and come back to me. Come back to me. Come back to me. With all our eyes closed, I want to ask,